for many people, finding a career you like can be a source of stress. It can take a lot of work to find job openings and apply for them. Even when you get that job, it's not always what you expected. Our next guest says knowing more about your own mind and the minds of others can change the way you work, and if you wanted to, change where you work. Art Markman is a professor of psychology and marketing at the University of Texas at Austin. He's also a cognitive scientist and co-host of the radio show and podcast, Two Guys on Your Head, that's at KUT Radio in Austin. His latest book is called Bring Your Brain to Work, Using Cognitive Science to Get a Job, Do It Well, and Advance Your Career. Art, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
A running theme through your book is that wherever we are in our work lives, a lot of us just, I don't know, kind of move from one thing to another and don't take a lot of time to think about it or examine it. How do we break out of that?
Well, I think there's a lot of things to do. You know, and one of the first is to get to know yourself a little bit better. And two of the big things that people can do to really begin that process are first to understand a little bit more about their own values. We don't actually talk a lot about values. We don't teach people a lot about them. And yet, what you really want in your life turns out to be a critical determinant of how happy you are in the work that you're doing. So, for example, some people really value achievement. They want to be known for their success, while other people value things like benevolence, that they want to actually have a job and have a life in which they do things for other people. Some people value tradition, where they want to really cling to their culture, whereas others value pleasure and really the enjoyment of their lives. And so you really need to get to know, first of all, who you are. And the second thing that's really valuable to do is to actually get a decent assessment of your own personality characteristics, not the Myers-Briggs that makes its way through so many workplaces, but to do something like actually get a Big Five personality workup and get to know these characteristics like extroversion and openness and conscientiousness. And the reason for that is that your personality reflects what you are motivated to do, all else being equal. And the more you understand about that, the more that you can tailor the work that you do to the way that you're motivated to do things.
Yeah, you're coming from this cognitive science background. What made you think, hey, I want to use this stuff I've been working on for so long and figure out how we can use these tools at every stage of our career?
So I've been particularly interested in trying to figure out not just how to study cognitive science, and I've certainly written plenty of papers that get read by 30 of my closest colleagues, but also to really figure out how other people could benefit from what it is that the field has learned. Unfortunately, the psychology didn't make the cut when we were laying out our modern science curriculum. And so most people learn very little about the way their minds work, despite the fact that they're going to be asked to think for a living. And so I've spent a lot of time really, you know, trying to write about and talk about the ways that the latest research can help people to do what they do. And I've tried to do it in a lot of different settings. And the more that I thought about the struggles that people go through in the workplace, the more that I felt like a better understanding of cognitive science would really benefit people.
And one thing I love is you talk about not separating ourselves, our identities from our workplace and bringing in things from other realms. And you live by this through the book. You've got these sidebars. You play saxophone, as I do. You keep drawing lessons from your efforts to learn how to play jazz saxophone. How did you figure out how to put those two together?
You know, it's funny, and it's always fun to talk to a fellow sax player. You know, I took up the saxophone in my mid-30s. I had read all this research on regret, and one of the things that the research on regret tells us is that what people who are in their 70s, 80s, and 90s tend to regret are the things in their lives they didn't do, not the things in their lives that they did that were stupid. And so I then took that research and asked myself, what would I regret not having done, and came up with the saxophone. And at the time, I really thought, you know, I'm just doing this for myself. This isn't going to feed back on anything else that I'm doing, but it'll just give me a sense of joy and accomplishment. But over time, the more that I played, the more that I realized that there were some really valuable lessons for work and leadership in playing the saxophone. And, you know, my favorite is the advice that they give to people when you first start playing with other musicians. They tell you that that what you can think of as the first law of jazz is that whenever you sit in with a new group, you have to listen more than you play. Because, of course, there's this tendency to want to rush out and prove to everybody that you deserve to be playing with this group. But if you do that, no matter how capable the licks you end up playing, you don't blend in with everybody else. And it's only by listening and figuring out how to fill in the gaps that people are leaving, that you actually blend in with what's going on. And that turns out to be extraordinarily powerful as a tool in the workplace, that no matter how much you want to prove that you belong in the job that you've been given, if you listen a lot, you can find your spots to really make a contribution.
Talking to Art Markman, his new book is called Bring Your Brain to Work, Using Cognitive Science to Get a Job, Do It Well, and Advance Your Career. Art, we often hear, it's kind of a graduation speech cliche, the idea, hey, when you're looking for work, find your passion. Is that something that we should do, or is passion what we think it is in the first place?
You know, it is certainly important to be passionate about the work that you're doing. After all, you're going to spend about 70,000 hours at work over the course of your career. So you'd better enjoy it. You'd better feel like it amounts to something. But the problem with saying find your passion is that it makes the assumption that there's a thing out there that you are going to love to do, and that if you don't find that thing, then you're going to end up having an unfulfilling career. When in fact, the research suggests you can learn to love all kinds of jobs, and that what's really important is not the particular tasks that you're doing day to day, but rather the degree to which you feel like the work that you're doing adds up to something that's really bigger than yourself, that is contributing to something important, and that fits those values that you have. Because even if you feel like you are working on something that other people would find valuable and important, if it's not something that really reflects your own values, you're going to have a hard time getting up in the morning.
Another thing I love in your book is you say sometimes people make a radical career change when something big and maybe bad happens, a loss, a near-death experience, whatever. You say don't wait for that. Maybe check in every year to see if you need that big change before something big happens to you.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's funny. One of the things that I did as I was writing the book was to do interviews with a lot of people, and actually to also pull folks from my social media and just ask them questions. And as I was writing a chapter about whether you should move away from your career and actually do something different, or to move on to another firm or to move up in your own organization, one of the things that I found that was common for a lot of people who decided to switch careers was that they had undergone some kind of personal crisis, a death in the family, a near-death experience, a serious illness. And I realized that that's the sort of thing that gives people the energy and the willingness, by confronting death in some way, to really make a significant change so that they don't stay in a career that really isn't fulfilling for them. And I feel like that's, you don't have to wait for some tragedy to strike before you should be willing to take that hard look at things. And in fact, you don't want to do it every day, but about once a year, and you can pick that time, whether it's the yearly HR evaluation that you have at work, or whether it's your birthday, or whether it's New Year's. We're coming up on New Year's now, which is a time when people evaluate a lot of aspects of your life. It's really important to ask yourself, do I feel good about the trajectory I'm on? And if not, to begin to add things into your life that are going to make changes so that next year you are closer to being on that trajectory than you are now.
We're talking to Art Markman, cognitive scientist and professor of psychology and marketing at the University of Texas at Austin. We're talking about his new book. It's called Bring Your Brain to Work, Using Cognitive Science to Get a Job, Do It Well, and Advance Your Career. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you hit a point in your life where you evaluated what you were doing and decided, yeah, this is great, I'm going to stick with it, or, hey, it's time for a change? If it was time for a change, how did you pursue that? Maybe different career, different job. Do you have questions for our guest about how to know our minds and use that information to get a job, keep a job, move up in a job? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@wpr.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Right now, we pick up our talk with Art Markman. He's a professor of psychology and marketing at the University of Texas at Austin. We're talking about his new book. It's called Bring Your Brain to Work, Using Cognitive Science to Get a Job, Do It Well, and Advance Your Career. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Is there something you wish your younger self had known when deciding on a career? Have you hit a point in your life where you wanted to switch? Or do you have a smaller, more practical thing that you would like to share or ask about? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll go to your calls now. Brent is with us in Oconto. Brent, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What did you want to tell us about?
Yeah, I got a couple things. First of all, I just want to tell I was a lawyer for about 15 years, and I got burned out pretty hard, and I decided to go off and do some teaching. I did that at the high school level, taught freshman history, and I enjoyed the teaching, but I did not enjoy the bureaucratic environment of being a teacher, and I also didn't I missed the independence that came from being an attorney. So I went back to being an attorney, and now it seems like for a while I'm cured of the burnout. So it was good that I took that sabbatical. It didn't wind up being a new career, but it was good to take that break. The other thing I want to talk about, I remember as a young person, guidance counselors in school, you know, here we are, we're in high school, 16, 17 years old, and being told we have to pick what we do with our lives. And there is no 16 or 17-year-old that knows who they are. You know, we don't even know what we don't know. So that pressure to pick what you're going to be for, if not the rest of your life, most of your life, it seems unfair to put that on a teenager.
Brent, thank you so much for the call. All right, let's start with that second point. I know that is an issue you have as well, that know your major before you go to college, for example.
Oh, yeah. Brent, I hear you. And by the way, congratulations on getting away from the career for a while and giving yourself a little bit of a sabbatical. That was a great idea. Yeah, you know, I find it fascinating that we ask people to choose a career early on. We ask people to choose their major early on in career in their lives. And there's two problems with that. One, of course, is you don't really know who your adult self is going to be. And Brent, you were pointing that out. The other is that all you know is what you've experienced so far. And your ability to envision the future is so deeply dependent on what you've encountered before in your life. I know that when I was in high school, I took a career test to suggest career opportunities for me, and it told me I should be an accountant, not because I really should be an accountant, but because my dad's an accountant. It was something I grew up around and something that was familiar. I think we need to give people a little bit more time to explore things, and I also think we need to give people an opportunity to get an education that's going to be a broad-based education that's going to help them to determine their future rather than an education that is narrowly pointed towards a particular career. I think these days we've devalued the liberal arts despite the importance that those disciplines have for teaching us about humanity. Most of us find that that the biggest problems we solve in the workplace are human-centered problems, and yet we spend most of our time pushing people towards technical fields, and it's not that those technical fields are a problem. It's just that if we do that to the exclusion of understanding people, we are making it hard for people to adapt to the workplace as they get into it.
Brent, thanks a lot for that call at 800-642-1234. And Art, you say, you know, maybe we don't do enough to learn those people skills in the workplace. We might come out of whatever our education is, maybe, as you say, with those technical skills, but not with the stuff we need to do in a job interview or a meeting or a career.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And I think that it's fascinating to me. I mean, partly we don't learn a lot of psychology, which might help us to interact with people better, to negotiate with people better. But we also, as I point out, we don't spend a lot of time thinking about the liberal arts. I spent the previous 8 years I took a new position at the university last year, but before that I was the director of a fairly new program here at the University of Texas called the Human Dimensions of Organizations, where both at the undergraduate and at the master's level, we try to use the liberal arts to teach people about people because we've recognized that so much of what people have to do each day in the workplace is to navigate difficulties with individuals, how group dynamics function, as well as trying to understand organizational culture and how that affects the work that you do. And I think we need to put more of that back into our education.
Talking to Art Markman, author of Bring Your Brain to Work, Using Cognitive Science to Get a Job, Do It Well, and Advance Your Career. Still time for you to join in at 800-642-1234. If you have a story of career burnout, a career change, or realizing you were pretty happy where you were. I want to hear your thought process at 800-642-1234. Art, we've spent a lot of time on bigger picture stuff, but a lot of your book is advice for particular situations along the job path and the career path. Let's get into some of that. How about applying some of the cognitive sciences that you work with to the job interview? What can that teach us? What can we take away from it?
Yeah, you know, the one of the things about job interviews, we have to recognize that we carry a lot of habits with us from experiences that we've had throughout our lives. And one of the things about job interviews is that they resemble exams. And so we carry this frame with us that the interview is like an exam. And that has a couple of problems with it. One of which is it means that we tend to treat that interview as we have to impress the interviewer, but not to take enough time to learn about the organization from what it is that happens in that interview process. So, for example, suppose that you don't know the answer to a question. Well, on an exam, that's of course a bad thing. But in the case of a job interview, if they ask you a question that stumps you, start a conversation. Even admit, I'm not exactly sure how to answer this, and see what happens. If the organization is one that really wants to teach you in the workplace, that wants to help you to grow as an employee, then they're going to treat that opportunity as a chance to show how they lead you to be able to do new things. And if they just look at you and say, well, you didn't know the answer, so we're just going to give you a big red X, they're also teaching you something about the degree to which they are going to develop you over the course of your career. So you really have to treat this as a two-way street, as a partnership, and to remember that you are learning as much about the organization that you're interviewing with as they are about you in the course of that interview.
Let's bring on another caller now. David is with us in Milwaukee. David, hi.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
Good. What did you want to tell us about, David?
Hey, so here's your topic. I had a pretty drastic career change. I went from being a early childhood elementary school teacher with a 4-year degree to now I work as an electrician, union electrician, and I basically work in construction now with a bunch of folks that have been brought up more through trade school and that, you know, route. And it is amazing the communication that I don't see on a daily basis that I kind of try to weave myself through. And it's because, you know, some of these people just have never been in an environment where there was communication that was taught and, you know, cultures that I see between the different kinds of workers on a job site and everything.
I got to ask, though, David, are you happy with that career change? That is a pretty substantial shift.
Oh, absolutely. I kind of always grew up a little bit more blue collar, and then I was kind of really pressured into going into college. So I did that, and that was good. I really do value my liberal arts education, but I absolutely love where I'm at in life now.
David,
as an electrician.
Thanks so much for that call. But there it is, Art. David, it sounds like he's taking some of his liberal arts education and wondering if it could help even in a very technical job like construction electrician.
That's, you know, it's fascinating. I mean, one of the things that I find really interesting is that so many people feel like the work that they do doesn't lead to something tangible that they can hold on to. One of the dangers of being in the knowledge economy that we're in is that you can spend a lot of time pushing papers around and engaging in conversations and meetings without necessarily getting a real feel for this is something I've accomplished. And when you build something, one of the things that does is, you know, you walk away from it and there it is. I think that's, you know, we have to find ways to create that kind of satisfaction in a variety of jobs, whether it's actual construction where you have something that you built or whether you're doing something that's a little bit more abstract than that. And even education where you have all these kids that you're working with, it can still be, I think, a little difficult to see what contribution that you've made. So that fascinates me. I think another piece to this that's really important is that these skills, these human-centered skills, are critical in every workplace, and it's not just in a workplace that is, you know, that where you know we think of the modern office as being computer screens and people work, you know, sending emails to each other, but even in construction sites, and I've spoken to a lot of construction companies over the years, there's a lot of teamwork. You know, a mistake in a construction project can be physically dangerous to the workers. It can put projects behind schedule. It is absolutely crucial to develop those communication skills in everyone, even if the education that people got before getting onto the work site didn't necessarily value that. And I'd love to see more companies really engaging in teaching those kinds of skills as part of their workforce training.
David, thanks for the call. Time for one more caller. Sam is with us in Milwaukee. Sam, hi.
Hi, just wanted to chime in. I appreciate the information that you're sharing. I'm 40 years old. The epiphany I've had recently, I'm in the process of considering my next career move, is what fits me naturally? You know, what qualities do I have? What skills do I have in which I could apply that to a job and find a job that naturally fits who I am as a person?
Sam, thanks for the call. We don't have a lot of time left, but Art, for somebody in Sam's position, how do they do that? How do they evaluate those natural fits?
You know, I think one of the things that's really important to do is to get out there and talk with a bunch of people about the work that they're doing day to day, and just get a feel for do I feel like the things that I enjoy doing are a part of that job. You know, hanging out with friends, hanging out, you know, getting out there, even in volunteer situations where you encounter a lot of people, just, you know, talk to people about what they're doing, because one of the things that you find is you begin to hear these resonances there of, oh, that sounds like a really cool job. And that can actually push you away from just what you know and towards things that other people are doing.
Thanks a lot for that call, Sam. And Art, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, it was my pleasure. Great talking with you today.
That's Art Markman, professor of psychology and marketing at the University of Texas at Austin. He's a cognitive scientist and co-host of the radio show and podcast called Two Guys on Your Head on KUT Radio in Austin. His new book is Bring Your Brain to Work, Using Cognitive Science to Get a Job, Do It Well, and Advance Your Career.